It's Monday night and time to talk football. Welcome to the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Now, here's your host, Chris Beckham.
Broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night, this is the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. I'm Chris Beckham. Thanks for joining us on this Monday night. For the next 60 minutes, we'll be catching you up with everything going on in high school football. As we are counting down the days to spring practice, which is right in front of us here in a couple of weeks. Talk a little bit about that. Also going to talk later on about some recruiting news, and there is a lot of recruiting action happening. We all think of recruiting as National Signing Day, which is in February, and that's certainly a big day, but those who will be signing on next year's February National Signing Day are getting a lot of offers, and we have a lot of South Georgia athletes. We'll get you caught up on all that. Got some coaching changes to tell you about. Some jobs filled, other ones now open very late in the process. We'll get you caught up with that as well. And also, the Georgia High School Association had their meeting today. A couple of small things on the football front that they were voting on. We'll get you caught up with that as well. After our first break, however, I've got to be talking to John Brannon. John has done, I don't even know how to describe the amount of research that John has done when it comes to high school football and the success of teams and how that success reverts back to the number of college football players that they have and just all kinds of things, things that I am fascinated in. And I think if you are a high school football fan, and if you are listening, I assume that you are, I think you'll be fascinated with as well. So we'll talk to John, coming up right after the first break, and get him to tell you some of the research that he has done and what some of that research has found out. And also, apologies that we were not here last week. If you can remember, 7 days ago, South Georgia was being hit with a lot of very bad storms, and thankfully, they were not nearly as bad as what we saw a few months back, thank the good Lord. But whenever we were talking about that and being on the roads, I said, you know, guys, it's probably better to stay put just 1 week and let's ride this thing out just to make sure that it is not as bad as it was in the past. And thankfully it was not, but we appreciate your patience. And I want to remind you that we'll be here every Monday nights, hopefully no more bad storms. But if you want to follow us during the week, we update our social media daily. You can follow us on Facebook at the High School Football Report on Facebook, also on Twitter at HSF Report on Twitter as well, literally tweeting out information and news stories throughout the week, and that's a good place to stay caught up. We'll take our first break. When we come back, John Brannon will be with us talking a little research as it pertains to high school football on this Monday night. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our great sponsors at Citizens Community Bank and also our great friends at Cass Birch Automotive. We'll have more right after this.
Now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Once again, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night, it's the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Thanks so much for spending part of your Monday with us to get you caught up on high school football. Again, we'll be talking a little recruiting coming up later on, also some coaching changes in South Georgia. It's a little bit late for that, but we have had some, and we'll get you caught up with that as well. But first of all, I'm very glad to be joined tonight on the show by John Brannon. John, first of all, are you with us? Let's go there first. John, can you hear me?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for joining us. As I was introducing this earlier, John, I talked about the fact that the amount of research which you has done, it borders on craziness, but I love it because I'm fascinated by it like you are, and only somebody who is fascinated with it would have gone through the and taken the time to disseminate this information which you have had. And I was going to begin to kind of set you up with explaining what exactly you have done, but it's kind of hard to explain until you go through it. But basically, you looked at a lot of different things, and the first thing I want to start off is the information about the number of players who go on from South Georgia schools, or really from all schools in Georgia, but we focus on the South Georgia schools, but all the high schools in Georgia to the colleges, and how that kind of comes back to did those high schools achieve a lot with those players? And I'll let you kind of take it from there and talk about how you got into all of this.
Sure, Chris. Happy to do it. Well, I grew up in Valdosta, and growing up in Valdosta means growing up football, played started off with the Kish Oil Packers and the Playland Toys Jets, and was a defensive co-captain on our 78 Coast State Championship team. And that game, as my Wildcat fans will remember, we ended up tied with Griffin for that one. I still follow some of those Griffin players. I just read that Willie Gault, who's on that team, was just recently won the fastest man in the world over 50 years old. So
wow,
he's holding it together, and we want to try and play him today.
Well, I don't know how fast he is at 50, but he was very fast at 18. I can promise you.
He sure was. That was quite a game with those guys. Back in the day, you know, in my time, we played with a few D1 players: Keith Middleton, Lawrence Lowe, Buck Balloon, John Lastinger, Troy Thomas, John Bond, Ernest King. Some names some of your fans probably remember. And you know, everybody remembers that in '78, Bob Austin was the co-champ in football. Not as many people know, that same school year, I was on the math team also, and we were in a three-way tie for the state championship as well. So it turned out I was a lot better at math than I was at football. So I hung up my cleats and picked up my Texas Instrument calculator and headed to Georgia Tech as a full-time student. While I was there, that's when I first started, you know, learning about statistics and whatnot, and I've been away from Valdosta for many years, but I've always followed the cast and the internet broadcast, and I make it back to a game or two each season. You know, what got me started in looking at these numbers is because we talked about a couple of popular movies, one, Moneyball, and then there was a book called Freakonomics. If you haven't seen Moneyball, that's about the guys at the Oakland Athletics hired to try and compete with the New York Yankees, and they figured out through statistics how to figure out which players would actually win games for them, as opposed to necessarily filling the seats. Really, really good piece. And I said, you know, I think I've gotten some of the tools to do this. I think I'll take a look at this. And I guess I got started on the Georgia High School event. There's a poster on there, an incredible guy named Ocean Tiger, who publishes college roster data each year. And I started looking at that. You know, one of the things that these guys in economics and Moneyball do is they try and say, well, what can this data tell me? And I started thinking about it. I said, well, I wonder if all these college football players make a big difference in a team's performance. And started thinking about how to look at that. And as it turns out, when you go looking at teams' performance, it's just what you would expect. The teams that have more athletes that end up on the college rosters tend to do better than the teams that have fewer of those athletes. And that's no surprise. But a few things jumped out of the data. Look back over, you know, kind of four-year periods. One was that, you know, most people fell on the line. More athletes, more wins. There was one team that was just up in the stratosphere based on the number of athletes they had, and that's Colquitt County. And they have an incredible amount of victories relative to what any predictive model would be on their athletes. Now, our data doesn't say what it is. It doesn't say if it's the community. It doesn't say if it's their touchdown club. I have a strong suspicion that Coach Probst has something to do with that. And for our technical folk out there, four standard deviations above what any predicted model would say. So if you're one standard deviation confident in something, if you've got a problem at work and you're one standard deviation confident, you go mention it to your boss in the hall. If you're two standard deviations confident, you're going to go set a meeting with your boss about this problem. Three standard deviations confident, you're going to go to the biggest boss on site and wait outside his office and tell him. You're four standard deviations confident, you're going to barge into his office, jump up on his desk, and shout at him about this problem. The data is shouting at us. Four standard deviations certain that Colquitt County is exceptional and it can't be predicted just by the athletes they have on the team.
But now let's go back with that, John, because Cochran County has had, as we know, many players over the last several years to sign college scholarships, whether that be at the NAIA level or Division II, where they got a lot of Dallas State, or in the SEC and ACC. I mean, they've signed an incredible number of their players. So how does that, you know, how does that throw the thing off at all?
Well, you know, you would think so. And what we really think about is this last year, or the last year we have data for, that 2016, they had more NCAA college athletes than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So for the high school season 2015, not so much. Mm-hmm. But if you look over a 4-year period, so that would cover all the athletes that are on the college rosters, freshmen through seniors. So back through those over those 4 years, they have generated more high school football playoff appearances than you would ever predict from the number of athletes. It's not just the fact that other teams may have more athletes than some of those earlier years, but they're not generating the number of playoff appearances that they had. They had 18 out of 20 possible playoff appearances over that 4-year run, and that's where they're really out predicting any model,
and which is just again almost unheard of. So again, John Brandon joining us tonight, talking about statistically breaking down how teams with a lot of college-ready players do. And you talk about playoff wins. Is there a reason that you focused on playoff wins rather than, say, regular season wins, or did you combine the two?
Yeah, it was just a choice. And where I got, when I looked at both of them, of course, and if you look at just regular season records, you really run into troubles with some schedules are a lot stronger than other schedules.
Gotcha.
And a team in one region versus a team in another region doesn't really stack up. But getting into the playoffs and generating playoff wins, then you know that there's really a competitive situation. So that's how I chose to look at playoff performance as opposed to just regular season wins. And that seemed to give us a much tighter correlation. You can look and see in the statistics, where you get predictions, and it's definitely in the playoffs. Now, there's a gentleman named Warren Maxwell who publishes Maxwell Ratings that has a very complex way of looking at team performance and strength of schedule. And I've looked at some using the Maxwell Ratings as well. You can get some interesting comparisons versus number of athletes.
By the way, the other team from our area here in South Georgia that has quote-unquote, done more with less, would be Ware County. Now, they're a 5A school, and they were really kind of near the top of your chart as well. Over the last, I guess, 4 years, 2012 to 2015, 8 NCAA scholarship athletes, however, 14 playoff wins. That's very impressive.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. You know, I spoke about Cochran County being 4 standard deviations better than you predict, but Ware County is 3 standard deviations better than you predict over that same period. And so they have definitely generated a lot of victory. And of course, those eight NCAA scholarship athletes go a lot farther in the smaller ranks than they do in the big ranks.
Sure.
In fact, one of the things that I looked at was, well, how much difference does it make whether you've got these athletes in double A or if it's in triple A, but essentially you'll get 3 times the number of playoff victories putting those athletes on a double A team as you would on a 6A team. So size matters there. It's the big fish in the small pond view, and your athletes go farther on the smaller team.
Now let's talk about, you talk about classifications, and that brought up another part of your research, which I found fascinating. That's with the current GHSA classification, with the 7 classes and, of course, the single A being split into public and private, so theoretically 8 classes that you have to deal with, and you found a great variance in the competitiveness level in 7A. Can you describe that and talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was really fascinating. So in this particular case, I did use those Maxwell ratings to kind of, I said, you know,
does it matter? Does size matter for how the Maxwell rating, which takes into account all your wins and the margin of victory, strength of schedule, and what I found was that it actually has a nice relationship. And the difference between the biggest school in Georgia high school football, which in 2015 was Norcross, and the smallest with 3,805 students in Stewart County with 127 students, that's about a 52-point difference, according to Maxwell. It's like, well, you know, I think that if little old Stewart County had to go up against Norcross, it'd be about a 52-point game. So that sounds about right. But what you find is when you draw that line, every 1,000 students is worth about 14 points or 2 touchdowns. And so if you look at the spread for those big schools, you know, there's more than 1,000 students difference between the biggest school and in at that time 6A and the smallest school in 6A. In fact, what we find is that if you wanted to make every classification exactly even, you'd only have about 3 teams in the biggest classification, because that's how much it would be to spread it out and to just give, say, a touchdown difference between the biggest and the smallest school. So I think based purely on how much performance you generate from students, the biggest classification, whatever it is, 44 or 48 now, 7A, it's still too big. You'd want to squeeze it down as small as you possibly could. You know, I came up with about 32, and you probably break them up into 4 regions, and even then, it's not even with the rest of them. So that big classification, what a challenge for the GHSA to figure out what to do with it. I was surprised because, you know, I kind of thought when they went to that 7A system, they'd already gone overboard, but the numbers suggest they could go farther.
And again, that goes into now. So if you're hearing John Brandon say this, John, our guest tonight, if you're hearing him say that, don't go tell everyone, hey, he's proposing a 3-team classification. No, he's not proposing that. He is simply saying statistically that's where it would be more even. Now, realistically, and you talked about the GHSA and the very hard job that they have to come up with these classifications, and there is no one-size-fits-all model. If you do this, you're going to make somebody mad, and somebody's going to think that they're getting the short end of the stick, and that's just how it is. There's no way around that. You took the big 32 model, which I think is in play over in South Carolina. And what I've always said is the outlier of why Georgia's an outlier on this is because of the city of Atlanta has so many people, so many schools. All those 32 schools, with the exception of Lowndes, Colquitt, and Camden, would be from the Atlanta area. And so travel-wise and everything else, people say, well, how would that work? It would be a huge disadvantage to the teams in South Georgia. So that's why they don't do it. Is that your take on it as well?
You know, they've got to balance a lot of things. But so you know, when I say that the numbers say that we ought to go with 32 or even a smaller number, that doesn't take into consideration things like travel, and they've got to balance a lot of things. And the other thing I would add is that the numbers really show that on any given night, in high school football, one team can come up on top of another, regardless of the size. This relationship I show has a lot of scattered to the data. So there's license for the GHSA to think about something besides just pure competitiveness. And I'm sure geography and travel and those things need to be weighed in. I can say by looking at the numbers, it's not an easy task that they have before when they set this classification up.
One also thing is the fact that, and we've talked about this some, and I don't know what if it would be the right thing or the wrong thing, but because when they do these classifications, and of course we talk about football, but they're doing them for every sport. You're talking about basketball, baseball, softball, soccer, everything else. And so there has been the thought of, okay, well, could you do something just for football and then another set of classifications for everything else? Because football is once a week, it's on Friday. If you have to travel, you don't have school the next day, whereas if you're in a region – say from Camden County to Atlanta, and you got a Tuesday night baseball game, well, we got a problem. But in football, it's a little bit different. So we've often thought of, could there be some classification football only? And I'm sure some of the other sports may get upset with that. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's an idea or not.
Well, You know, I think you bring up a really good suggestion there, because as you mentioned, you know, football's a once a week thing. It's a Friday night sport. The impact of travel is not nearly the same as for a sport like basketball. And you know, also, you know, you've got to put 22 players on the field for football. So having the numbers in your school in football may well have a bigger impact than on the others, where it's the luck of being able to have good athletes in any given season. So I think you bring up a really good point, but I will say this, I've not looked at any of the numbers for any of the other sports, so I can't really answer on a fact basis, but I like the idea that you have there.
Well, it's fascinating, the research that you've done. And again, by the way, if you hear some of this, John has posted this on the Vent. You can find it. I think you did it maybe in every forum. Is that correct? Am I wrong about that? I checked. I feel like I saw it more than once.
I have usually I've posted it on the 7A forum and the 6A forum, because really those numbers have really jumped out with the most interesting data. In fact, if I come up with other things, like when I did the reclassification study, I put that on every board. So,
yeah.
But most of it you'll be able to find on the 6A and the 7A board.
Yeah, and it is truly fascinating. Playing with numbers is how he titles it, and it is truly fascinating. And that's kind of what led me to when I started going through this. And, of course, Ocean Tiger, by the way, and I don't even know who that guy is, but I've requested him to send me his exhaustive list, and he has always done so, and he's a – obviously, he as much research as you put into it, he does as well. And we use that because we do like to keep track on our Friday night show especially, but also on the High School Football Report, to tell people where these guys are playing at the next level. And talk a little bit about that, because it makes sense. Obviously, you got more freshmen than anything else because they're just getting in. But when they have to stay eligible and they have to stay passing and they're not redshirting, there is a big, you know, those numbers become fewer and fewer. Did anything jump out at you as an outlier in terms of that?
Well, you know, that one of the things is, as you mentioned, the piece that really jumped out at me when I looked at the numbers from the 2015 college football rosters and compared it with the 2016, where you can really track each one of those players. That's probably about 3,500 lines long on each one of them there. So one of the things I noticed was that, you know, freshman year is pretty tough on people.
It was on me, and I didn't play it down. So
more than 40% of the athletes that signed on in 2015 are not on the rosters in 2016. And I know, you know, these are teenagers, and they've got lots of things going on in their life. They could have gotten hurt. They could have found out that, you know, football's not their thing at the college level. Anything could have happened. But I was not expecting to see 40% of them go off. The other thing that was pretty big is redshirting. And, you know, the freshmen, about 17% of them redshirt. And you see that same type of departure all the way through. And I guess it was a bigger number. You know, you lose about 30% of your sophomores. You lose about 25% of your juniors. The thing that surprised me, I guess, is that the number of new players that are coming on. So you get maybe 15-20% of your sophomores weren't on any rosters the year before. You get another 15% of your juniors coming on. The thing that surprised me, there are like 12% of the people on the rosters that are seniors. These are seniors that are not on any rosters before, but they've decided they're going to go out with a year of football under their belt. So those were some things that kind of surprised me in the data. You know, another thing that I looked at, you know, so I said 17% of the freshmen redshirt, but if you look at your Division I schools, about a third of the players are redshirt their freshman year. So it's a pretty big, much bigger than I thought it would be, both from the number of people leaving and the number of people redshirting. So it's a tough business, but to keep drawing people in, with people wanting to come on. We even found a few guys that came on in about 3% people that didn't play football at all and joined and play as a grad student. And I said, now that is pretty amazing.
That is unbelievable. As a matter of fact, with all the research that I read through that you did, what you mentioned about the people who show up on a roster as a sophomore, junior, even a senior, you mentioned a grad student, that's the only part I had to read twice. I said, that can't be right. I have to read that because you just don't hear about that as much. And we're not talking about a player who transfers, like you said, from one school to another. That's relatively common. That's not that uncommon, I should say. But
right.
Yeah, but to come in there, have not played, I said, I don't remember seeing that. So that did jump out at me as very strange.
Yep. No, that's a lot of things in the numbers. And I tell you, my hat's off to Ocean Tiger. He has a way, and he hasn't shared with me exactly what his source is. He says it's easier than you might think it is. He gets every single roster in America, not just NCAA, but also junior colleges, community colleges, NAIA, everybody that plays football, he's got those rosters in his database.
And that's unbelievable.
So is a valuable trove to go through.
Well, John, I got to tell you, it is fascinating research. And again, if anybody wants to look at it, it's on the Vent. Of course, we talk about the Vent a lot, and I don't know. I assume everybody knows what that is. GAVSV.com. You can go on there. You can check it out. You can read some of this research. And I'm sure if you do have questions, John, if folks want to send you an instant message, much like some radio host in South Georgia did, they'd be able to do that. And because it's just fascinating, I think to people who are fans of football as a whole, it's interesting to see this kind of stuff. So.
Yep, no, it's an interesting thing, and looking forward to continuing to post some interesting things on there for you.
John, listen, we'll keep watching for it, and maybe we'll have you back again sometime. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Take care. John Brannon joining us, and I will say this, when we talk about, because I do this kind of thing as well, my wife thinks I'm crazy, and so I was glad to show her. I said, hey, here's another guy who does what I do, and not surprising, he's a Valdosta Wildcat, where everybody's crazy about football. That makes sense to me. It does. Appreciate John joining us tonight. Fascinating stuff. We'll take a quick break, come right back. Talk about some recruiting, man. We've had some guys who have had some big, big last couple of weeks since last we joined you on the recruiting trail, including some today, and one big, big commitment. And I'll tell you who that is right after this. You're listening to the High School Football Report presented by our friends at Cass Birch Automotive as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. And we'll be back with more right after this.
Now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, back on the Cass Birch Automotive High School Football Report on this Monday night. And again, broadcasting as always live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios, thanks to our great friends at Citizens Community Bank. Hey, they're celebrating a lot this year as well. Another year of serving all of South Georgia. And again, they're kicking off the year. They got lots of things going on. Check out their social media scavenger hunts. Find 90, get 90. You can search for hashtag CCB find 90, get 90 or hashtag CCB turns 90 on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Find out about lots of special deals going on. Of course, four locations in Hayhira, Morven, North Valdosta Road, and on Baytree as well. As we talk about different things happening, we'll get to recruits in just a minute. First of all, on the coaching front, pretty late in the spring for schools to be looking for coaches, but because we've had one job filled, another job is now open. Ben Simmons has left Turner County High School. He is the new coach at Worth County High School, taking the place of Jason Tone, who resigned just a month and a half or 2 months ago, whatever it was. Ben Simmons, great record at Turner County. He'd been up there for a couple of years. He was in a similar situation. He got that job late in the process. He got it in April, I guess, a couple of years ago, and turned it around pretty quickly. Over the last 2 years, Turner County has been very competitive in single-A, now moving up to the triple-A level with Worth County. And Ben is obviously a very good coach. The numbers don't lie, and his numbers stack up with just about anybody's. Ben's also a great guy. I've known Ben for a long time, and I think he'll do a great job there at Worth County. Again, Jason Tone did a great job at Worth County, leading them back to the playoffs. I think Ben will continue that. Now, Turner County, now they're looking for a head coach. And again, when you start that process in April, one would think that your choices are going to be limited because not a lot of coaches are looking for a lot of jobs. Immediately you think, well, they're going to have to hire from within, and they may well do that. I have been told, however, there have been 30 applications for that job. I'm sure, I don't know who those folks are, obviously. I'm sure some from within the system. They don't have 30 coaches in the system, so obviously some from outside the system as well. So that's a lot higher, to be quite honest with you, than I thought that it would have been. We don't have any timetable. Obviously, I think you can kind of write off spring practice, but which happens in May, and they don't have a head coach at this point. And again, that's not a big deal either, because in single A, a lot of schools forego spring practice and simply go with the two scrimmages in preseason. So we'll wait and see what shakes out. But again, congratulations to Ben Simmons, as he is the new head coach at Worth County. A couple of coordinators' jobs. Of course, a couple of weeks ago, we had Tucker Pruitt on with us, the new head coach for the Fitzgerald Purple Hurricanes. They have a new defensive coordinator, a name that is familiar around South Georgia. Taz Dixon will be joining Coach Pruitt as the defensive coordinator for the Hurricanes. I believe Taz is already there in Fitzgerald. Taz, of course, has been at Valdosta. He's been at Lowndes. He is coming to Fitzgerald from Ware County, so he knows these parts pretty well, and he knows Coach Pruitt pretty well also. So Taz Dixon will be heading the offense for Coach Pruitt over in Fitzgerald. Now, Valdosta is looking for an offensive coordinator, obviously, to fill the shoes left open by Tucker Pruitt, and there has been no mention made yet of who that person is, no official mention. And until there is, I'm not going to say who it is on the air, although I do have a name, but until it becomes official, we will wait on that. But they do have somebody, and as soon as they dot all the I's and cross all the T's, everybody will know who the new offensive coordinator at Valdosta will be. And again, he inherits a pretty good group of Wildcats there. So that's the latest on the coaching front. Now, the Georgia High School Association, we'll get to that real quick as well. They had their meeting today. This is their state executive committee meeting. They meet in Macon for this at the Marriott, and I know what was on the agenda. I have had no reports on exactly what the vote was on these items. There are four items that really pertain to football. There's a lot of items they had to go through, everything from reclassification to gymnastics to eligibility and the whole nine yards. But the four main football items, number one was that all scheduled Georgia High School Association varsity games that are interrupted or postponed must be played to completion, which means the schools have to decide when that's going to take place in a timely manner. The team who is behind in the score of an interrupted game will have the option not to complete the game, and the score will be recorded as it was at the point of interruption. That's if you're the losing team. If you're the winning team and you have a five-hour lightning delay and you can't get it in, you can't simply call it a win. You've got to play it in a timely manner. So how that meets out, we'll have to wait and see. That was voted on today, and again, I assume these were all, because these are all pretty common sense things, I assume that they were all approved. I do not know that for sure. Another proposal that they're going to be voting on today, they did vote on today, was that the spring practice, which can now culminate in a spring game, may be versus a traditional team or a jamboree-type game. Three teams playing a half against two other teams. There was some confusion on that because, as we've said before, we know that some teams had already scheduled a jamboree-type game for this spring, which is the first spring where you can do these kinds of things. And the GHS said, no, you got to play a traditional game. We'll fix it for next year. Why they couldn't go ahead and let them do it this year, I have no idea. But they didn't. And it'll be available next year if this thing passed, which I assume that it did. Also, the proposal about six quarters a week per the participation limit for if you play high school football and you're a JV player, but you play varsity as well, you can play six quarters per week. They say that the only change in that is that they will not include an athlete's play on special teams. So if you play punt coverage in a JV game, you can play the whole game and still play four quarters on Friday night, but you can't play the same thing if you're on offense or defense. So seems minor, does affect some people. Now, the other big one now, and again, this will not be put into place until 2018-19. So it won't be in place this fall. But they're going to tweak the power ratings for Class 7A. And I'm going to walk you slowly through this so we can all understand it. But basically, the reason it's not this year is because schedules are already made. However, if you're a class, and they really kind of are pointing to Region 1, they basically say, we're not saying Region 1, but Region 1. Because they say this is for any 7A region having fewer than five teams. Well, Region 1 is the only region that has fewer than five teams. They have four. That's not likely going to change. So basically, this is a Region 1-7A rule. And it says, the proposal to change the power ratings procedure so that games between Class 7A teams and any team below 5A will not count in determining that power rating. All right, let's, for example, this year, the Tift County Blue Devils, they're a Region 1-7A team. That's who this applies to. They play Fitzgerald High School. They play Cook High School. And right now, those games count in the power ratings. And they will count again this fall in the power ratings. In 2018, and again, there's going to be a chance to reschedule because the schedule goes in two-year cycles. If Coach Ashley Anders, he says, okay, I'd like to schedule Fitzgerald again. And he may well do that. Fitzgerald and Cook are huge money games. They packed the gate. Purple Hurricanes brought a load of people to Brody Field last year. So did Cook. But if you play those games, then they're not going to count in your power ratings. That could hurt you. It won't count against you. It just won't count at all. What that means is every bad 7A team in suburban Atlanta, expect for your phone to be ringing off the hook from Moultrie and from Tifton and from Lowndes and Camden County because they want to schedule you because they got a good chance to beat you. And if you're a 7A or a 6A or a 5A team, they want you on that schedule. So it's, you know, it's, and again, and certainly Tifton pick any, I mean, pretenders with their, I mean, Fitzgerald's a great team. Fitzgerald is way better than half of the bad teams in 5A, 6A, 7A in Atlanta. Much better. So they got a tougher opponent. Now, it did bring more money in the gate, no doubt. But it's all things to be considered. And again, this will not be for this coming fall. This will go into effect, if it was approved today, which I assume that it was, for the 2018-19 season and after that. So tweaking the power ratings just a bit. So that's what the GHSA was up to today. And we will post on our Facebook page. Again, we urge you to follow us there. High School Football Reports on Facebook, HSF Report on Twitter, and as soon as we get confirmation those things were voted through, we will certainly pass those along on our social media pages. All right, we'll take our final break. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit of recruiting. Man, some guys have had some big, big weeks. We got a big commitment from South Georgia. We'll tell you all about it right after this. Stay tuned as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. We'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Once again, inside the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night, this is the High School Football Report, presented by our friends at Cass Birch Automotive. You look for a great deal today. Now is the time to head on down to Cass Birch and find that great deal. Again, $10,000 off the suggested retail price on in-stock vehicles on those 2016 Ram 1500s. That's a good-looking truck. They got the 2017 Ram 1500 Express quad cabs as well. Go by and check all these fantastic offers out today. If you want it, they got it at Cass Birch, where they are stacking them deep and selling them cheap. And again, they have rethought everything about new, used, pre-owned car trucks, and they are committed to doing things better each and every day. All right, on the recruiting trail, as I mentioned, of course, now is the time where a lot of colleges are sending out offers to some of the best high school players around. And, boy, we got a lot of them here in South Georgia. Just in the big news of the last week was the commitment by Jalen Goss, the Lions offensive tackle, who has been offered by everyone under the sun. He's 6 foot seven. He's a great-looking player. He announced that he is committed and will play at the University of Florida. Congratulations, Jalen Goss. That's good news for Gator fans around South Georgia and around wherever you are. If you're a Gator fan, that's good news. Now, I will say, and I'm sure that Jalen is loves Gainesville and is very excited about his commitment. I will say only this. Nothing is official until next February, and that's a long way away. And I'm not saying that this commitment is not stable, but we've seen before people change their minds, and it may happen. Well, who knows? Right now, he is committed to Florida, and that's fantastic. Florida's a great program, one of the best colleges and university programs in the country. And Jalen Goss wants to be a Gator, and they've given him an offer, and now he has accepted an offer and committed to be a Gator. Again, nothing's official for another 10 months. And, by the way, Jalen Goss's phone will not quit ringing. Other recruiters from other schools will continue to offer him. So He may think he has shut him up. He has not shut him up. Some of the other offers from two of his teammates, as a matter of fact, Will Tolbert, linebacker at Lowndes, just in the last couple of weeks, he's already gotten offers from Mercer and from Army, and last week from Harvard. And folks, got to tell you, off to play football at Harvard or anywhere in the Ivy League, do not grow on trees. You got to be a special kind of young man to get that. Will Tolbert is a special kind of young man. Travis Tisdale, now he's just a rising junior. The running back at Lowndes has two more years to play for the Vikings. Again, he's already been offered by LSU. I know he recently spent time visiting Clemson, either this past weekend or the weekend before, I think it was. So he's looking around as well. He's still got two more years, so don't expect any kind of commitment from Travis yet, but he is going to be very highly sought after. Tavon Kyle, another Lowndes Viking, while we're on the Lowndes train, has in the last couple of weeks gotten offers from East Carolina and from Middle Tennessee State as well. So a lot of Lowndes players, and again, that's not surprising. Michael Baird, of course, the quarterback, has gotten offers from all over the place. I mean, just and one of the things, there was an interesting story about Michael. He's gotten offers from LSU and from Georgia Tech and from Michigan and all over the place. In a story one of the recruiting services did on Michael Barrett, and I believe we shared this on our social media. I'll double-check it. If we didn't, I'll share it. But he basically said, you know, I like playing quarterback. But before I was a quarterback, I played defense at Lowndes. And to be honest with you, if a college coach wants to use me somewhere else, I'm game. And that's unusual. A lot of high school players say, listen, I'm not going to play tight end. I'm not going to play that. I'm going to play this position and this position only. And you really see it a lot at quarterback. High school kids say, listen, I want to be a quarterback. I don't want to be a receiver. I don't want to be a DB. I want to be a quarterback. Michael Barrett's the opposite way. He says, I'll play whatever. I'm a football player. If you think I'm better here or I'm better there, hey, I'm down with it. I play quarterback now. I'd like to play quarterback in college, but I'll play wherever. I think that's refreshing. I think that's what college coaches love to hear. This guy's a team player. He'll play wherever we want him. If he's our best option at quarterback, by gosh, we'll play him at quarterback, and he's good. Michael Barrett, he's eat up with good. But he comes in with the attitude, hey, if you offer me a scholarship, I'm a team player. If you think I'm better at corner or receiver or wherever, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. College coaches love to hear that. So, interesting story. If we have not already posted it, I know I read it. If I can't remember if we posted it or not. If we didn't, we'll put it up after the show. You can take a look at it there. Other guys from around the area who've gotten offers just today, Jace Rogers, very talented playmaker. I call him a defensive back. He plays some running back for Valdosta, too. Got an offer from Cincinnati. He's already got a string of offers from some great schools, Cincinnati being the latest. Caleb Dawson, defensive back over at Colquitt County, got an offer from Appalachian State. Cam Cobb, receiver from Tift County High School, got an offer from Troy I think over the weekend. That's his first offer. Now, you want to talk about a young man blowing up, and that's Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson is a defensive end for Tift County High School. He had gotten a lot of offers. South Alabama, I can't remember all of them off the top of my head. He had gotten a lot of offers, but none from the big Power 5 conferences. And then he got one from Oregon. And Oregon has offered several guys here in South Georgia. So, wow, Oregon, okay, that's big time. Well, after that, the floodgate started. Within a 24-hour period, Andrew Johnson received offers from Ole Miss, from LSU, from Auburn, and then the last one from Georgia. He was getting them from all over the place. Andrew Johnson is very highly thought of, obviously. He's about 6'3", plays rush in, great athletes on the state championship basketball team. I talked to Coach Ashley Anders. I said, hey, what in the world? I mean, did he get a great score back and that got everybody's attention? Everybody knows he can play. He said, listen, Anders said, it's just like dominoes. Once these schools start offering, everybody starts to take notice, and they look at film. They say, wow, this guy can play. And Ashley, and the reason I like Ashley so much as a football coach, he said, here's what I like about it. Andrew Johnson's getting a lot of college looks from a lot of college coaches. You know that's going to help? Well, it's going to help him, obviously. It's going to help my other players. They're going to come by in spring practice, and they're going to see some of the athletes we got, and that's going to help a Chess Jackson, who's a big lineman up at Tift. That'll help a Rashad Bateman. I'll get to him in a minute, who's a great receiver. That's going to help a Cam Cobb, who's another good receiver for Tift County. That's going to help a Griffin Collier, who's a record-setting quarterback. They may not go big Power 5 conference, but they're going to get looked at, and that name's going to start to circulate some, and they'll get more offers because of it. And that's what I like about Ashley. He works hard as I think just about all of our high school coaches in this area do, getting those guys another look at the college level, and certainly there's a lot to look at. So congratulations to Andrew Johnson. He's got a lot of looks. Chris County was loaded with athletes last year. They got more this year. Jaleel Taylor, one of their big defenders, has got offers from Arkansas State, Middle Tennessee, and Army. Also, Quay Walker, who is their biggest recruit, and some say the biggest recruit in South Georgia, got another offer from Ole Miss. He's been offered by everybody. Also, they got another kid up there as well at Crisp County. Who's the other one up there at Crisp? Name escapes me. But they got several getting offers from all over the place. A.J. Payne at Americas, he got an offer from Army. Two in Waycross, well, actually more than two, but Jalen Strickland, big lineman, added to his long list of offers. Colorado State, Southern Miss, and Minnesota have offered him. Ernest Jones, big linebacker, an offer from Mississippi State and Ole Miss as well. Trey Cobb is another one from Ware County. He got an offer from Southern Miss. So that Ware County team that we just talked about with John Brandon earlier and all those guys, they said, you know, they didn't have many guys in that 3-year period go play college football. That's changing. They got a lot of guys getting looked at. So every single one of those offers that I just mentioned, when they happened, we sent that back out on our Twitter page, and that's why it's so important to follow us on social media. If you're on Twitter, HSF Report at Twitter, follow us there. If you're not on Twitter, get on it. You miss a lot of stuff. And, of course, you can always follow us at our Friday Night Football page there as well at South Georgia Football, and keep up with everything during Friday night. We tweet scores out and everything else. But during this time of year, follow us on HSF Report, and we've linked it with our Facebook page. So if you're on Facebook, like High School Football Report, everything comes there as well. And we do that daily. As guys get offered or as big stories break, we will pass it along there on our social media pages. I mentioned Rashad Bateman, wide receiver at Tift County High School. Now, Rashad has been getting offers as of last year. He originally committed to Georgia Southern, and he backed off that commitment. So I want to take a look around. And he's gotten offers from a lot of other colleges. He's been offered by, Louisville offered him, last on Saturday. Louisville offered Rashad a football scholarship, South Alabama, Middle Tennessee, all these guys. He's starting to get some looks. He's an explosive, explosive receiver. The other thing that Rashad Bateman is a fantastic basketball player. And so basketball recruiting has kind of started to pick up as well. Now, to the point where I believe it was earlier today, I don't want to make sure he hadn't taken it down before I say it, but I believe it was earlier today, Rashad tweeted out that he thinks he's just going to play basketball at the next level. So, interesting. So I don't know if that's set in stone. We'll wait and see. But he may play football. He may play basketball. He's good enough to play both. If some school wanted to do that, again, he's gotten offers from Southern Miss, South Alabama, of course, Georgia Southern still there offering him as well. Samford University, Coastal Carolina, all those guys. So he's gotten a good many football offers. Let's see, Troy offered him, West Georgia offered him. He's gotten a good many, but he may want to play basketball at the next level. And from what I understand, he's getting some looks in basketball. He's about a 6'3" shooting guard. Tift County, of course, won the state championship just a couple of weeks ago. Rashad was a key component to that. Hit 4 threes back-to-back-to-back-to-back in one game in the playoffs to lift them to victory. So Rashad has options. And if you're a high school athlete, that's what you want. There's no law that says Rashad Bateman has to make a decision now or tomorrow or next week if he wants to play high school football, college football or baseball or basketball. He can do any of the above. And we'll wait and see what happens with him. It's good to have options again. And I tell you, we're going to spend a whole segment sometime soon on things that recruits should and should not do. And as you look at a lot of recruiters, and I follow a lot of different recruiting services online, and I talk to a lot of college coaches, and boy, let me tell you what, when they follow your social media pages, if you're a recruit, they check out what you're following on Facebook. They check out what you're following on Twitter and on Instagram and on Snapchat and everything else. And if you post something stupid, if you don't think that has any consequences, you're crazy. Those coaches know. Because this is their money. College coaches have a finite number of scholarships to offer out. They're not going to throw them out willy-nilly. So if, if you put something stupid up there, that's going to bring what Dr. Eric Holland, the state championship winning basketball coach at Tift County says it's going to lower your credit score. They keep up with things with the credit score up there, and it's a fascinating idea. If you make a bad grade or if you get in trouble at school, your credit score goes down. Come to every practice, your credit score goes up. Just like life. Things you do have consequences. So, once again, we'll see what all these players have to do. It's interesting to follow them. You can follow us on social media, and we will certainly pass along all that information as we get it. Next week, we're going to talk about the NFL draft and how at least one South Georgian could be impacted by the NFL draft. And we'll talk about some of the other college players from this area. When I say this area, the Southern teams, Georgia Tech, Florida State, Alabama, Auburn, and the like. My buddy Jimmy Espy, who is our resident NFL guru, is going to be joining us next week to talk about the NFL draft. And we'll look back in time, as we often do this time of year, and talk about some of the former South Georgia players who were taken in the NFL draft, what kind of NFL careers we had. But we'll get Jimmy's insight on that. He is always nice enough to join us before the NFL draft, which is 1 week from this Thursday, so it'll be timely to have Jimmy on with us next Monday night. Once again, we thank John Brandon for joining us earlier tonight. Always thank our great friends at Cass Birch Automotive and also at Citizens Community Bank. If you go by and see those folks, tell them thank you for being a part of our show and making this a possibility every Monday night. Thanks to all our friends here at Black Crow Media, as always, as well. Again, follow us on social media, or if you have a question or comment, you can send us a direct message through our Facebook page and through our Twitter account. We'll be glad to answer them as we can. Again, spring practice not that far off, just a couple of weeks now for high schools. Time to get excited about it. We get excited about it every single Monday, and we're glad that you do as well. Thanks for joining us on this Monday night. Hey, remember also you can listen to a podcast of our show at ValastaToday.com/High School Football Report. Check us out there. We'll see you next week.